Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week I'll speak to a new guest with an inspiring job. We talk to lawyers, marketing managers, filmmakers, ballet dancers, you name it. We hear about their personal paths to doing what they do, the skills required and the tools they use for the job. I'm Laura Luncini and today my guest is Alan Gray, key grip in the film industry in Cape Town, South Africa. Now, if you've ever spent time reading the final credits of a movie or a TV series, you'll know that there are actually hundreds of specific professions related to film. Key grip is a key role, like the title suggests, and his team made of best boy, dolly grip, and many more are in charge of delivering the best camera movement for each scene. But I won't say more. Here's Alan. Alan Gray, thank you for being my guest. I'm very happy because you are from the film industry, and then from laymen who are not from the industry, there's so much to learn. Like even just the name of your job, to be a grip, is something that's unknown to people, and let alone second AD, first AD, DOP, and I mean all these acronyms. So
there's more acronyms. Yeah.
There's more acronyms than the United Nations, actually.
Right.
So let's start by saying, what do you do? What does a grip do in the film production?
First of all, thank you very much for having me. So my job title is called Key Grip, and everybody, when they look at the credits at the end of the movie, nobody has any idea what that is.
Right.
But basically, I'm responsible for the movement and positioning of cameras on set. That's first and foremost my responsibility. So I'm responsible for operating the dollies where the camera operators sit on. I'm responsible for the movement of the camera cranes where the cameras are on. I'm responsible for stuff like rigging cameras for cars and to design specialized camera moves. Yeah, it's a job that I kind of fell on by accident, but got hooked instantly, and I'm completely in love with it.
Oh, awesome.
Funny thing that almost nobody knows is the actual term grip is very old-fashioned. The first motion picture cameras were kind of wound up, and as the film was, each frame was being exposed to capture the movement, the cameras would shake an incredible amount. So basically, the grips, early grips, were responsible for each man holding a leg on the tripod, so the camera wouldn't shake, so that the image would be stable while they were capturing it on film cameras.
I see.
Yeah.
That was gripping.
That was what gripping was originally. It's obviously evolved quite a bit through then, and there's many different types of grips. Me being the key grip, I'm responsible for the various things that grips do, whether it's camera movement, whether it's rigging studios, whether it is designing shots for my cinematographer so that they can move the camera through the frame in an interesting way that'll help tell a story. Yeah, I've been doing it for about just over 20 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, I still go to work every day excited to be there.
Wow, that is so special. I mean, it's a privilege, eh? To really love what you
it
do.
It is.
And I know if I look at, job offers out there, I go online and I never see, we're looking for a grip.
Right.
How do you get a job like that?
It's crazy, because there's lots of film schools around the world. None of them teach gripping.
Yeah.
Usually if you go
really?
To film school, you learn how to be a director, you learn how to be a camera operator, you learn how to be a cinematographer, you'll learn production, you'll learn how to be an assistant director. To become a grip, it's almost exclusively hands-on training. And you normally have to apprentice. You start off at the bottom and you work out of a truck. And you're running equipment into your seniors on and off set until you learn how all of the different pieces of equipment work, and you go from there. But because gripping is a very problem-solving, on-the-fly sort of occupation, there's real no formal training that you can get for it. So, for instance, if I was told that I have to, design a shot where the camera moves from the top of a mountain to the top of another mountain, there's no school you can go to learn that. I have some experience now with work like that. I know that I have to build a tower on one side, one side of the hill, and build another tower on the other side of the hill, and connect those towers with ropes and a pulley system and some sort of way to operate the way to operate that. But you don't, you can't be taught that. So it's really mm. it's really a hands-on kind of thing. And to be honest with you, when I started in the film industry, I had no desire to really be a grip. I came from a completely different background. I was in academic publishing, and I got bored of it, and I wanted to do something different. And I got into the film industry thinking that my skill set is sort of in production, because I was used to sort of putting all of these different parts together and budgeting and all of that boring mundane stuff. But I didn't know how things worked. I didn't know how things worked on a studio floor. Like, you know, who did what? What does a first camera assistant do? What does a second camera assistant do? What does a spark do? So I got a job through a friend of mine who was probably one of the most renowned in our profession. And I started off at the very bottom, and I realized that I was completely useless at this job. I didn't have the sort of almost like mechanical engineering like skill set or mind actually figure things out quickly. And I just kind of was determined that I'm going to stick with this until I'm good at it. And my aspirations for production quickly fell by the wayside, because I ended up really enjoying the buzz and the sense of accomplishment when you're on a studio floor, when you're on a set, to be able to solve a problem that's never been solved before. And that happens basically every day, time and time again in my job.
So you're not the kind of person that would fix something at home and people would call and say, hey, I need a fix. Before you did this job, it was, you didn't know you had it in you.
Exactly. And I didn't, to be fair, I didn't at all. I developed it. I mean, I had some very good teachers. I worked for some exceptionally bright, gifted, and motivated technicians that really, really taught me a lot. And it took a long time to be even average at my job, to be honest with you.
Amazing. So you had someone who, like, the first time that you got your first job, it was through a friend who was working in the industry?
Correct.
And
yes.
Then called
it
you
another,
up?
It was another key grip, and he was friends with he grew up with my ex-wife, and I'd known him, and I was like, please just give me a shot. I just want to see how things work. You know, how do things work on a film set? He goes, okay, come and join me. And then it was actually on a movie with Colin Farrell and Salma Hayek. So I jumped right into the deep end. And I was just absolutely mesmerized by the buzz of the film set. And he kept me on for a couple more movies, and I gradually, you know, upgraded my skill set and learned more and more. And then after about, then I started working for other people to get more experience and to find, you know, how other grips solve problems in different ways, before finally going out on my own about 8 years after I first started.
Okay, so you know you're independent,
yes.
And then people call you because they know you, and then they call you on productions, and that's how it goes, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I split my time now between doing commercials and long format like features or TV series.
Yeah.
But I've been doing it for so long now that I almost never work with people that I haven't worked with before. So it's nicer, you know. You think that there's this global, you know, that the film industry is so huge, but it's actually a fairly small village where a lot of people know each other, and that's true locally or internationally.
Mm-hmm. And you're in South Africa, Cape Town, right?
Yes.
And so it's very thriving. It's a thriving industry, and a lot of very skilled crew, and a lot of international production go there. So it's a place to be if you want to work in the film industry.
Absolutely. And it's Cape Town, the most beautiful city in the world.
Oh my God, it is. I agree, having lived there. So if I look at your job, like, at what point are you involved in a production? Like, is it from the very beginning you need to read the script and then find all the spots where rigging is required? Do you work alongside the director?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I don't start right away. I usually won't start on a project until the cinematographer, the director of photography, is assigned to the project. I'll read the script, and then I'll bounce ideas for a month or so before I actually formally start on the job, about, you know, what kind of shots are you looking for? What kind of look and feel are you looking for? Are you looking, you know, whether, you know, if it's an action movie, a lot of the camera is handheld and you get kind of shaky movements. When you have period dramas or dramas with a lot of dialogue, you have the camera is normally on a dolly or some sort of apparatus to move it. So you get slow, deliberate movements where every movement, every pan and tilt of the camera or Every movement of the camera is designed to highlight something in the script, or some piece of dialogue, or some piece of action. So I try to get a sense of what the look and feel of the job is, you know, of what the project is going to be. And then after I get hired, I work with the cinematographer. I read through the script again and again and again. I've read the script about 8 or 9 times before we even start. And then you start looking at locations, and my DOP will have generally started setting up a broad shot list of what shots you want for each scene, and we go location by location, and I try to figure out how best to get a camera and equipment and everything into these locations, which is often the biggest challenge. You know, in a wide open space, you can move the camera anywhere, you can do anything you want, but in, say, in an apartment flat, to be able to get movement of the camera to tell the story in a confined space is, you know, always really, really difficult. So so I've bought and acquired and designed a lot of pieces of equipment to make that job easier. And that's a big part of my job is actually assigning the right piece of specialized equipment to the right scene.
So you basically also need to be to know about new piece of equipment coming out, and in order to creatively find those solutions to problems that they pose.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's really why I'm hired, to be honest with you, more than anything else. I mean, I
because you know.
I'm au fait with that kind of thing. I mean, I'm very passionate about physically. A lot of key grips are basically sit beside the DOP by their monitor when we're shooting a film, and they're not hands-on. I personally actually love moving a camera. So even if it's a 4 or 5 camera job, I'll always be on the A camera, moving the camera, because I really enjoy that. But your question is spot on. Usually, really, why I or people like me are hired, because we're the best equipped to be able to apply the right apparatus to the right shot. You know.
And talking about physical, is it a physical job?
Yes, it's a very physical job. I'm getting a little bit up there, and I've got an amazing crew that picks up the slack for me. But, you know, carrying crane weights across a field to be able to, you know, to balance a crane, to lifting a 200-kilo dolly up a flight of stairs.
Oh, wow.
Constantly moving the camera from one place to another between setups. Yeah, it's very physically demanding.
So that's an important point to keep in mind, you know.
Yes.
You gotta be also physically apt and, you know, in shape in order to do this job.
Yes, correct.
And between, you say, what will be the ratio between being in front of a computer, preparing, organizing, and then being outdoors on set?
For me, I try to minimize the amount of time. I try to get all of my work done in prep before we start shooting. Once we start shooting, my second in command on my team is is called a best boy, and he's basically takes on the role of administration once we start shooting. So I do most of my planning and work on my computer and my shot lists and my booking of equipment and all of that stuff in the weeks leading up to initial photography, principal photography. Mm-hmm. And then after that, well, to be honest with you, I hate admin as well. So I'm blessed with
you delegate.
Yes, and that's also a huge part of the job. Delegation is
okay. So who are your main points of contact in the production? Of course, the DOP, director of photography.
Yeah, the director of photography is first and foremost. Then the production manager is super important, because they're the production managers are the liaisons. They'll book the equipment for me. They'll make sure that I have the requisite number of crew members for any given day, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then unit and transport are very, very important departments for my job, because just the logistics of moving equipment from one set to another can be quite daunting sometimes. You know, I can start the morning in an apartment in the middle of the city and then finish the day in a mountaintop, you know, 60 kilometers away. So just having that relationship with the transport department and the unit department and the locations department to make sure that everything flows smoothly is a big part of my job. And it starts off at being my responsibility before principal photography starts, then my best boy generally takes it over. But you know, the whole point with every department, it doesn't matter whether you're in production, your camera, whether you're in the AD department, we're always trying to maximize the amount of time that we're actually filming. So I spend a lot of sleepless nights worrying about how I can get stuff from one place to another to make sure that nobody's waiting for me when it's time to shoot, you know?
Amazing. Yeah, it's such a great collaboration. I have fond memories of my time there. And I do really think it's a miracle when a movie comes out. It's such a hard work from everyone, and it requires such a coordination and communication from all departments. It is amazing.
Absolutely. I'm still blown away by it because it's like, I mean, there's so many disparate departments, so many different types of people too. And I just, yeah. I guess I don't know any other industry where you can be blessed enough where you pitch up to work and every single person is motivated and really, really good at their job. It is really something. And I'm still, having done this now for well over 20 years, I'm still amazed, you know, when they call that's a wrap on a movie, that we actually got this thing done, you know, or how we actually finished this TV series, you know.
Yeah. And you were mentioning the best boy, you know, it makes me also think of whether there is a historic reason for that name. And also, can you tell me a bit like what your team comprises?
So I don't know what the root of the best boy is, because in the lighting department, the gaffer is the head of the lighting department. Like I'm the key grip is the head of the grips department, and there's best boys. There's best boys in both departments. I don't actually know where that comes from. So my team generally comprises, if I'm doing, say I'm doing a feature film, and for the sake of argument, there's three cameras working anytime. So there'll be me, there'll be my best boy, there'll be one or two dolly grips. So those grips will be just solely responsible for moving cameras on dollies at locations. And there'll be about five or six assistant grips who are basically responsible for running stuff in and out from where we store our equipment onto sets, to building tracks, to building cranes. Then I generally have a whole separate rigging team. There'll be a key rigging grip that works under me that I will be giving instructions to weeks before we even start production about how you can leapfrog locations, so that those locations have all of the pipes and clamps and infrastructure that we need, so that we can just pitch up on the day and start shooting.
Okay. Do you need to fight with the production manager for budget?
Every single time. It's the single biggest source of frustration in my job, because you know, like we grips work hard, and I always have to fight tooth and nail for every additional staff member. And then I look at you know, there may be a poodle on set for one day, and there's five animal handlers to look after this one poodle. And I'm like, come on, guys, we're carrying a crane to the top of a mountain. Give me an extra guy. So that's always a source of frustration. But you know, like also, equipment's very expensive. I've over the years acquired a lot of my own equipment, so I can approach productions with almost a pretty complete package. But to hire in equipment, it's quite a finesse as well, because it's super, super expensive. And to make sure that you don't take too much, because it blows your whole budget. It's a tightrope that I'm constantly walking. But I guess it gets easier when the more experience you have.
So do you have any anecdote of some job you've done that's worth mentioning here for people to have an idea?
I've been blessed, because I've been, like, right from the very beginning, from my very, very first job, I've been on some very big, you know, productions, big important movies that I'm sure all your listeners will have heard of, like Lord of War and Blood Diamond and Tomb Raider, lots of stuff. But I think one of the funniest ones is literally, I think it might have even been my fourth or fifth day on set. And Colin Farrell, the Irish actor, had kind of taken a liking to me. And back in those days, he was drinking a lot before he kind of cleaned up his act. And I don't know, I spent an evening with him in his trailer. We knew after set, we just had a few beers and stuff like that. And he ended up passing out in his trailer. But Selma Hayek was really nervous, because the next day was her first nude scene. And she was really nervous about it. So Colin, I think he was probably pretty hungover when he woke up, to sort of break the ice and take some of the stress out of the whole, you know, off of the set, left his trailer and walked buck naked right from his trailer on the set. And it's just, you know, everybody clapped, and it just made, I think it made life so much easier for Soma. It was a really funny thing. And I was like, you know, I mean, literally, this was maybe my first or second week in the industry. And I'm like, holy cow, what kind of, where have I found myself? What kind of job is this? Yeah. But, you know, like also the stories of excesses and parties, I think that's a lot of that has calmed down a lot. But I mean, you know, back when I first started, there was epic parties and stuff like that. Now, I think everybody's a lot more professional now than when I first started in the industry. You go, you do your job, everybody's focused, and you go home and do your own thing. Away shoots are a different story. Away shoots are often become of what happens in Vegas,
like
sticks in Vegas.
High school,
Vegas
school trips.
And the grips have a reputation of being the biggest partiers on set.
So oh, yeah.
There have been moments in my life where I felt a certain responsibility to my position as key grip to wave the flag at rap parties and stuff like that.
Okay. So in terms of how to start in this field, you know, because you had your in was through a friend or you know, someone who was already in the industry. But I remember when I wanted to work in the film production in Cape Town, I really had to knock at all doors. Nobody knew me, and I had a career, like my CV, my resume was completely different, like yours, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I came from marketing and communication. Nobody could care less.
Right.
So, and then it was like just determination, and then I accepted to get a really like a low-level job and then go up the ladder. How do you start as a grip? Like, do you find another grip and look for jobs?
If it was like basically for new people that start, I'm probably getting like maybe, I don't know, a dozen messages a week by young people just asking me, you know, how can they get started in gripping?
Yeah.
You basically, as a youngster, you just kind of have to do your research. Find out who are the biggest grips and, you know, like the most well-known grips in the country and drop them a line. I feel it's a responsibility because I was given a big break when I started. I feel very responsible to sort of share whatever I can with young people, and I'll give names of people that might be looking for junior assistants to get started. But in the grip world, it's definitely like an apprentice system. It's definitely like a mentorship kind of thing. So you basically just got to keep knocking on doors until somebody will give you a break. And to be honest with you, the ones that keep knocking and keep following up messages, I'm like, okay, this person's motivated. Let me see what
motivated.
I can do for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good point. Yeah. You know, to not give up and then do some jobs. And then, so what you told me before is that the film school will not really be helpful for if you want to be a grip.
No, correct. I don't think so. I don't know. In fact, I don't know any grip. And there's got to be, I don't know, there's thousands of them in South Africa. I don't know any of them, that one that's come up through the film school route. It's all been word of mouth, apprenticeship, mentorship, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, like a lot of times what happens for youngsters that want to get in the film industry, it's just like when you're first day at university, you don't know what you're going to want to study for the rest of your life. So you take a broad range of subjects and stuff like that. So a lot of youngsters that want to start off in the film industry, well, I would advise them to get a job as production assistants, as junior production assistants. You do a lot of running around, but at the same time, you get a sense of what everybody is doing and then pick your path from there. And then, you know, once you're in as a production assistant, then at least you have a little bit of the beginnings of a network of people that you can contact to pursue a more specialized path, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And then lastly, I mean, what is it that you need to prepare to compromise in order to be successful in this job?
There's a lot of stuff on the personal level, because as you know, the hours and the commitment is to be successful in film industry can be very, very burdensome. I mean, you know, your minimum you're working is 10 hours a day. You can do 15, 16 hours a day. So you need to have an understanding and open communication with your family and your friends that you're not going to have the amount of time to share that most people do. And that's the biggest thing. You know, you get used to it, you get used to this life, but there's no denying that there's compromises on your personal life and your interpersonal relations that come up along the way. And it's especially when you first start, that's a difficult thing to navigate, because you know, as you get older, you realize what your priorities are. But, you know, when you're so caught up in this new career, this exciting new thing, you kind of, it's very easy to lose track of what the things are that are really important, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. So one last message for future grips listening today.
So for future grips listening today, watch a lot of movies and concentrate on how the camera moves. You know, I work with lots of people that do lots of grips, that do lots of different things. And I always have to remind them that it actually all starts with the movement of the camera. So watch movies, make notes to yourself about why this movement was good, why this movement wasn't good, what makes this shot interesting and what makes this shot not interesting, or why the shot doesn't work, and get a sense of how the camera moves through the frame to tell the story. And then everything works backwards from that. And you tend to love your job a lot more when you kind of think of it in terms of seeing the tangible results on the screen. So that would be my biggest advice. Watch a lot of movies, concentrate on camera movement, and figure out why you like it or why you like them or why you don't.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. And on the note, I want to thank you for this very nice and open conversation, and all the best. And I'll be looking out for your name and the final credits of the next
Fantastic.
Movie.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Alan Gray, Key Grip in Cape Town. If you'd like to listen to this episode again or more from the JobTales series, then go to worldradio.ch/jobtales or search JobTales wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Laura Leoncini, and I'll be back next week for another episode of JobTales with brand new guests the same time next week on WRS.